Have you heard the one about the crazy old prospector holed up in a shack on the banks of the Illinois River all by himself? Just one neighbor across the river. They called him the Hermit of the Craggies. His name was Hugo Meyer. They also called him Crazy Hugo. He became convinced that his only neighbor was out to get him. So the solitary trapper and paranoid former prospector ambushed him with a rifle. And the state prison became his retirement home. Well, good morning, and thanks for queuing up Offbeat Oregon Du Jour, the audio edition. I'm going to tell you all about Crazy Hugo in a minute, but first I better introduce myself. My name's Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. This column, it got started in 2008 and currently running in about a dozen community newspapers around the state. It tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghaied sailors and Skid Road bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. All kinds of great stuff. This RSS feed brings you one of our archive columns every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. You're listening to the audio one right now, of course. So I'm going to read you today's episode. Robert Fance had come to the Illinois River prepared to die, which he did, but not quite the way he'd thought he might. Mr. Fance had a degenerative lung disease, probably tuberculosis. So in the early 1930s, he and his wife bought a meadowland farm deep in the heart of what today is the Rogue River Wilderness area from the man who'd homesteaded it several years before. And they settled in, hoping that the clean southwest air would help him beat the illness. The Fance's new home, which is today known as the Fance Ranch, was very remote. The nearest community was Agnes, an unincorporated jumping-off place that had sprung up to mark the end of the Rogue River mailboat line, with a population of just a few dozen. And the nearest neighbor, an old trapper who lived right across the river, was not entirely sane. Really, it wasn't old Hugo Meyer's fault he was nuts. In the early 1920s, the government had started building a bridge across the Rogue River in Agnes, where the Illinois River rubs into the Rogue. Meyer was working on the bridge job one day when another worker dropped a wrench and it hit Meyer on his head, doing enough damage to require that his skull be reinforced with a steel plate. After that, he was never quite the same. Hugo Meyer was born in Germany in 1884 and came to America when he was 20 years old. Within a couple of years of his arrival, he was on the West Coast and prospecting for gold. With a partner, he delved deep into the wildest and most remote part of Oregon, the mountains along the Rogue River known as the Craggies, in search of color. In 1906, he decided to settle down on a homestead. So he emerged from the wilderness and spent a summer working in Crescent City, California, putting together enough money for a filing fee, then plunged back into the Craggies and set up housekeeping beside the Illinois River, where a prospector had already built and abandoned a little shack. He moved in and cleared a little garden next to the shack, and there he lived for 27 years. Now, Meyer was a sharp fellow. He invented a technique for crossing the river that was like a cross between a zip line and a pogo stick. Here's how it worked. He secured a cable across the river, good and tight, secured to something very solid. Then he took a beefy plank and cut a channel in one end so it would hook over the cable, and secured a crosspiece through the bottom. Standing on the crosspiece and holding the plank near the top, he would throw his weight forward, actually to one side, but forward in the direction of across the river, bouncing on the cable and essentially hopping across the river. He'd go into town about once a year, usually trekking down the river to Gold Beach. He'd buy flour and coffee, and for everything else, he was utterly self-reliant. To raise money, he trapped and shot animals. Bear, wildcat, cougar, fox, whatever else might make him some money. His yearly income was in the $50 to $100 range. Of course, he ate most of the animals he shot, so his diet was pretty rich in meat. In addition, he dug camas root and ground and leached acorn flour and grew a few vegetables. He also had a homemade pipe in which he smoked laurel tree bark. It wasn't the lap of luxury, but it was a life, and Meyer must have enjoyed it because he always came back. Then came that accident at the Agnes Bridge. It was sometime later that the Fances moved in, right across the river from him. Meyer got along great with his new neighbors at first, but paranoid suspicions soon darkened his mind. As time went on, Meyer became increasingly convinced that Bob Fance was trying to get rid of him. He made only $27 in all of the 1933 trapping season because he was afraid fans would sneak across the river and light his shack on fire. Something, he told himself, something had to be done. So one November day that year, he lurked along the trail with his ratty old .22 Winchester rimfire rifle. When fans came into view, Meyer stepped out and ordered him to stop. Meyer later told authorities that he'd planned to march Fance across the river, execute him, and bury his body there. Fance instead put the spurs to his horse and tried to gallop away as fast as he could go, so Meyer shot him off his horse and left him there, dead. When the horse returned without him, Fance's wife came and found him where he'd fallen. Because of his lung disease, she immediately assumed he'd died of a naturally occurring lung hemorrhage. It was only after the mortician discovered a bullet hole in his back that they figured out he'd actually been murdered. Meyer, convinced his shooting of Fance had been just, necessary, and morally defensible, hadn't taken any great pains to cover the crime up. Investigators found shell casings at the scene, along with his homemade pipe, which he'd left in the hiding spot. But when the police came to his cabin to arrest him, they found it empty. Meyer, finally rid of his dreaded enemy, was making up for lost time on his trap line. He was gone for weeks, during which time everyone in the Agnes area took to packing pistols everywhere they went in case Crazy Hugo should appear. When Meyer did return to his cabin, police were waiting, and he went with them cheerfully. The newspapers, when he was brought into Grants Pass for trial, called him the Hermit of the Craggies and the Old Man of the Mountains. Even after he was tried and convicted of first-degree murder, he remained convinced that the governor, just as soon as he heard the story, would pardon him. But then, if he were pardoned, he'd have to go back to his life in the woods. It wasn't entirely clear that he wanted to do that. To go back to leaching ground acorns in the river to make a few pancakes to eat with his raccoon and camas root stew, all the time thinking longingly about the delicious food they served in the Josephine County Jail. Before being shipped off to the penitentiary at Salem in early 1934, Crazy Hugo thanked the community for giving him the best Christmas of his life. He was serious about that Josephine County jail food. So much delicious food, such a soft and comfortable bed, such refined bathing and toilet facilities in the Josephine County Jail. It was hard, he agreed, it would be hard to go back to eating acorns and squirrels and using thimbleberry leaves for toilet paper. But, of course, he never had to. Crazy Hugo spent the rest of his life in Salem, in the state pen. He died in 1961. You can still see the remains of his shack across the river from the Fance Ranch. Both of them are now part of the Rogue River Wilderness area. That's it for today. You can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both Offbeat Oregon du jour feeds are optimized for smartphone use, but they work great on a computer or netbook, too. Also, everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Well, thanks for listening, and drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee sometime. I'll be back around 6 a.m. tomorrow with the next episode. Until then, well, happy trails!